Lord, as we get into the Word of God today, give me clarity of speech. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You can be seated for those of you who are standing. I want to invite you to take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37. If you'll find your way over there, Matthew 22, verse 37, and then we're also going to go to Matthew chapter 18. I hope you brought a Bible. For those of you who are our guests this morning, where y'all been all my life? I've been looking for you. We are glad that you're here at the Bend with us. And I apologize for you having to listen to me lead worship today. It has been years. But when you're doing a church plant, you have learned, or you learn quickly, that you're the worship leader, the preacher, the janitor, the prayer, the yard mower. And come on, how many know anything else that needs to be done? But I like it. I kind of do it as unto the Lord. If somebody asked me this morning if I was nervous, I said, no, I'm not nervous for me. I'm nervous for the people that's going to have to listen to me this morning. So if you don't like the worship, I promise it'll be better. Please don't judge our church by our worship. But the preaching is going to be fabulous this morning because there is a preacher in the house. As we're turning to Matthew 22, here in just a few weeks, in May, we've been approached by an organization here asking if we would partner with them to do a job fair in this community to open up jobs to people who are needing jobs in our community. So next Sunday, we're going to be announcing that to you. We're going to need people that are going to come volunteer. And you say, what do I got to do? I just want you to love on these folks that are coming. How many know Jesus loves the hurting, the broken, the hungry? Jesus loves them. And so today we want to just encourage you to come help us be a healing part in our community. We'll be telling you about that next week. We've got a lot of great things coming down the pipe for you. I'm very excited about what God is doing in our church. With that said, I'm going to continue the message that I preached last week. Bury the hatchet. Say that out loud with me, please. Bury the hatchet. Now, last week, for those of you who are visitors, I literally preached with a hatchet in my hand, and I thought about throwing it at a few of you. I understand now why the Bible says don't look at their faces while you preach. That's what he told the prophets. But a few of you almost threw it, and I told you that I have a little Cherokee blood in me, and like most people living in this area, we got some kind of Indian blood. And the origin of the statement, bury the hatchet, comes actually from Indians, because whenever two warring factions would actually make peace as a sign of unity and peace and forgiveness, they would take their hatchets and they would bury it in the ground. Last week, I told you that a lot of people have issues with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. In fact, I want to submit something to you, church. I believe unforgiveness possibly, probably, is the biggest issue that is hindering the body of Christ from being everything that we've been called and anointed to be. I believe that with all of my heart. There is so much pain, emotional, physical, mental pain, that is taking place in our society. I have never, ever seen a generation who walks in more offense than this generation. Everybody is offended about something. The problem is you can't be like God when you carry unforgiveness and bitterness. And I told you last week that a lot of people bury the hatchet, or they attempt to bury the hatchet. They want to forgive, but when they bury the hatchet, they do it like Garth Brooks sang about it. They bury the hatchet with the handle sticking out, so that whenever something stirs them up, they can go right back to what broke their heart, what offended them, and they can pull it up to justify the way they feel. Now, last week, I talked to you about forgiving God and being offended at God. Some of you last week texted me and said, I didn't even know I was offended at God till after you preached that message. You realize that you're carrying bitterness toward God. Much of our unforgiveness actually starts between us and God, because most of us in here carry some type of disappointment in life where we felt like God should have, could have, would have done something, but he didn't do it for us. And so therefore we got offended at God. That unforgiveness caused a bitterness between he and I. And listen, when he and I are out with each other, that bleeds over into every other relationship in my life. So last week, I wanted to start where we needed to start, and that is getting it right with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then the Bible says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, you can't be right with the neighbor you do see when you're not right with the God that you don't see. Well, today, I want to talk about forgiveness on a little deeper level. And today, I'm actually going to teach you how to forgive somebody. How many of you in here would like to know how to forgive somebody? I've heard you've heard people preach you need to forgive, but nobody ever tells us how to forgive somebody. How do you release somebody? How do we be right with our brothers and sisters? All right, first of all, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Everything that God has for your life hangs on these two statements. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot disconnect these statements and have God's best for your life. It can't happen. Everything that heaven has for you, folks, is hinging upon these two hinges. These two hinges open the door or close the door of heaven over your life. Now, to illustrate this to you today, I want to take you to some scripture. First of all, let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Again, you're going to need your Bible because we're that kind of church. We believe in preaching the Bible. Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse number 23. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle the accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." That's a lot of jack, right? That is actually 10,000 years of labor. A talent in biblical times was equivalent to 1 year of labor for the poor. So somebody was brought to this servant and he owed 10,000 talents. "But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he should be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made." That's pretty ruthless. Pretty ruthless. "The servant therefore fell down before him and said, 'Master, have patience with me and I'll pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant who was forgiven went out," now notice, "and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is almost nothing. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat." Now he's got him in a chokehold, "saying, 'You better pay me what you owe me, Jack.'" Hello. "So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I'll pay you all.'" It was the same thing he just got through saying to the man that he owed that forgave his debt. "But he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what he had done, they were very grieved, and they came and they told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him." Look at the last verse. "So my heavenly Father also will do to you, each of you, from his heart, if he does not forgive his brother his trespasses." What a terrifying statement. If you don't forgive people like I have forgiven you, I will do to you what this servant and or this master had to do to this servant. I will punish you like you punish them. Forgiveness, folks, is more important than we think it is. There are people under the sound of my voice, you can't have a good relationship with other people because somebody in years gone by hurt you, grieved you, offended you, and you are carrying that thing around like some big weight around your neck. It ruins every relationship you go into. You can't be in a good relationship with your employer. You can't find a spouse. You can't find a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You go through relationships like dominoes. There is something wrong on the inside of you. And for most of us in this room, it is unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is something we all deal with. So don't anybody in here act like you're holier than me. Come on, I get mad, right? Y'all don't know me. I do believe in the laying on of hands. And if you push me long enough, I'll do it, speak in tongues and prophesy while I do it and ask God to forgive me later. Come on. Right? Somebody asked me one time, I said, hey, I need you to help me do something. They said, I don't feel led. I said, you want to feel led? And I went all my day. I said, I pulled out my 9mm. I said, I'll help you feel some led. Do you feel led now? Do you feel led now? That's kind of the way sometimes I want to do life, right? We live in this kind of world that offense is everywhere, and we have an opportunity to be offended. But the truth is, unforgiveness and offense is a problem that has to be dealt with. Now, I'm going to give you some things today, and you're not going to agree with some of these, but I'm going to ask you to look at the Bible, not what Pastor Shane says. And then I'm going to end with an illustration of a tree this morning to illustrate how important forgiveness is and how unforgiveness, how Jesus said unforgiveness works in the life of the believer. Let me give you some facts you need to know about unforgiveness. Number one, unforgiveness prevents God from forgiving us. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. I don't believe that if I carry a little unforgiveness that it will prevent God from forgiving me. Well, then you just don't believe in taking the Bible as it's printed, literally. Because the Bible says, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servants, just as I had pity on you. And then his master was angry. And the Bible says he delivered him over and he said, I will do to you like you've done to your fellow servant. Listen to what the Bible says, guys, in verse number 35. So my heavenly Father, say that out loud with me, please. So my heavenly Father, say it again. So my... He says, I want you to know, this is Jesus talking. My heavenly Father also will do to each one of you from his heart who does not forgive his brother that trespasses against him. Look at me. That's heavy. That's heavy. How important is forgiveness? I'll tell you how important it is. Your forgiveness from God depends on your forgiveness. You're releasing people who has hurt you and offended you. You must forgive in order for God to forgive you. I told you, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two hinges, the door of heaven swings or shuts. Forgiveness is the oil on the hinges. How important is forgiveness? God can't forgive you if you don't forgive. Number two, second thing you need to know, unforgiveness opens us up to tormentors. Opens us up to tormentors. Notice what the passage says in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 34. If you go down there and look at it, let me get over here. Matthew chapter 18, come on, everybody get over there. And his master was angry and delivered him to the what? To the tormentors, to the torturers, until he should pay all that was due him. Look at me. Number one, unforgiveness prevents God from forgiving you. Number two, unforgiveness opens the doorway for tormenting spirits, demon spirits, to come into your life and to torment you. God forbid that anybody in here would be suffering depression because of unforgiveness and bitterness. I wonder how many people who have committed suicide, not because they were just hurt, but because somehow or another the hurt turned into bitterness and unforgiveness in their heart. How many great churches could have been built had somebody just forgiven? How many people could have been reached with the gospel had the body of Christ operated in a little more mercy toward each other? I just wonder that sometimes. Unforgiveness prevents God from forgiving me, but number two, unforgiveness opens me up to tormentors. I can tell you, I could sit here today and tell you, or stand here today and tell you literally about stories, literal stories that happened. These aren't made up stories, literal stories of people that I have cast demons out of. One man in particular made an appointment with me in Louisiana, and I knew who this man was. He and his wife were having problems, and she had got to the point. He was an alcoholic, and he was extremely abusive, and he was literally beating her and beating the children. And she came to me, and I told her, get out of the house. Get out of the house. Now, this man was a big man. He was known as a bully in the community, and I kind of figured that when I told her to do that, he was going to come after me. I knew it was going to come that way, and I just knew he was an angry, upset alcoholic who was out of control, right? And she left the house one night, and we got her a hotel room. He found out that the church paid for the hotel room, so he made an appointment with me. My secretary said, you might not want to see him. I said, no, I'll see him. I'll see him. Because one of the best things you do with a bully is you just push back a little bit. It's easy to beat up on a woman. It's hard to beat up on another man, especially when you know that man will punch you in the mouth and speak in tongues while he does it. And so anyway, sure enough, he came in the door. Big stocky guy, always wore a cowboy hat, wore boots, and he came walking in and sat down in my office, sat in a chair across from my desk. And I called his name, and I won't call it now. I called his name, and I said, what's going on? I knew what was going on. I wanted to make him open up and talk to me. He said, you know what's going on. And he began to curse me with everything that is in him. I mean, it just foul, ungodly expletives began to pour over his lips. It was like Satan himself was trying to intimidate me. And I said, I called his name. I pointed my finger at him. I said, you know what your problem is? You're possessed of a devil, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And when I did, he jumped up, threw the chair against the wall, and busted the chair. He then pulled out a dirty, hairy 45. It's about that long. Pulled it out like this right here, pulled the hammer back, and was pointing it at me. And I jumped up and said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Come on, how many know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are, come on, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That devil didn't know what I knew. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on. That devil didn't understand, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The problem is, I knew who I was in Jesus. He could pull the trigger, I was going to heaven. But if he didn't pull the trigger, I was going to get hell out of him that day. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. And all of a sudden, he dropped the gun in the floor. He collapsed to the floor and doubled over and grabbed his side. I believed a big old angel punched him in the gut. Punched him right in his big old fat belly. And he just doubled over and he fell to the side. And I walked over to my office door. Now remember, he's throwing chairs and stuff. And my secretary, my assistant, is sitting right beside, in another office right beside me. I opened the door and I said, hey sis, do you hear all this noise in here? She said, yeah, what's going on? I held up the gun. I said, you think you could get me some help down here? We got on top of that brother and I started praying the prayer of faith, and we started casting demons out of that brother and got him delivered, and they're married to this day and their family's doing good. Come on, how many believe in a God? Come on, how many at the bend believe in a God who can restore broken things? Well, come to find out, when I got demons out of that man and I got to where I could talk to him in his right mind, do you know what he told me? He said, Pastor, I didn't want to beat my wife. I don't want to be an alcoholic. He said, I swore I would never be like my daddy. I watched my daddy beat my mama every night. He said, my daddy was a raging alcoholic. I said, I'd never be like him. And he said, I had so much hatred and unforgiveness for my daddy. He said, one night I was literally sitting outside drunk and wishing he would die and go to hell. And he said, I had a gun in my hand. I was thinking about killing him. And he said, at that moment, demons came into me and they took over my life. Listen to me. Unforgiveness opens the door to tormentors. Number three, unforgiveness gives Satan an advantage over us. How many know you don't need him to have an advantage? You're already messed up enough. But unforgiveness gives Satan an advantage over us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 2:10, the Bible says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed you have forgiven anything, I have forgiven the one for your sake in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. Look at me. You don't forgive, Satan gets an advantage. You want Satan to have the leg up on you, then hold that bitterness and unforgiveness. Number four, unforgiveness can keep you out of heaven. You say, well, I don't believe unforgiveness can keep me out of heaven. I'm telling you, the Bible says that unforgiveness will keep you out of heaven. That's what it says. You say, I don't believe it says that. Well, it says that in Matthew chapter 12. It says it in Matthew chapter 21. It says that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Over and over again in the scripture, it is clear that unforgiveness will keep you out of heaven because God can't forgive you when you don't forgive. So look at me. I'm asking you, who are you bitter toward? Who's hurt you? Is it worth going to hell over? Is it worth going to hell over? Nothing is worth going to hell over. Number five, the fifth fact you get from the scripture is unforgiveness hinders your prayers. Did you know if you're walking in unforgiveness, you can pray all you want, but God's not going to listen? The Bible says unforgiveness hinders your prayers. Listen to Matthew chapter 11, verse number 24. Jesus said, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Folks, there are things that hinders your prayer. And then he comes on verse 25 and he says this, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness hinders your prayers. You say, okay, Pastor, I get it. Unforgiveness is bad. How do I bury the hatchet? Come on, say that. Say, how do I bury the hatchet? Say it. How do I bury the hatchet? I'm going to give you two things to do to bury the hatchet. Two things. It's going to seem so simple, it's stupid. But my daddy, who was a car guy, he used to tell us all the time, keep it simple, stupid. Here's two things you can do to bury the hatchet. Number one, you decide. Now look at Pastor, you're never going to feel like forgiving. If you're going to tweet anything, you better tweet that. You're never going to feel like forgiving anybody. And there's never going to be a good time to forgive anybody. You're never going to feel emotionally strong enough to forgive somebody. So what do? You decide. You can make a decision to let it go. You say, no, I can't make a decision. Yes, you can. You can make a decision right now. I am not going to let this thing eat me up anymore. I decide to let it go. I might not feel like it, but I'm going to decide to do it anyway. I might not look like I can, but I'm going to decide to do it anyway. Everybody shout, decide. How do you forgive? You decide. That's the first step. You decide. Number two, here's the second thing you do. You depend. Because here's the truth, even though you decide to do it, how many of you know you can't do it by yourself? You can't do it by yourself. So you know what you got to do? You got to depend on the grace of God. You got to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, folks. Again, I want to tell you this. Christianity is not you being like Christ. Christianity is Christ living through you. There's a difference. Religion is you trying to be like Him. Relationship is Him living through you. And you can't forgive somebody trying to be like Him. You can only forgive when you let the power of the Holy Ghost that's on the inside, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, come on the inside, rise up. And every time the enemy try to bring it back, you say, no, I've decided and I depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Now, Jesus gave an illustration that I'm going to close with today to illustrate the power of forgiveness. The problem is when we read this story, we don't think it's about forgiveness or unforgiveness. But I want you to go with me. Everybody, turn with me to the book of Luke. And go with me to the chapter 17 of the book of Luke. What are we talking about? We're talking about burying the hatchet. Right? Let God go, let people go. Get it right with God, get it right with people. Nothing's worth going to hell over. It's not worth going to hell over a mystery. If you're going to go to hell over something, surely don't go to hell over something you don't understand. Nothing is worth losing eternity over. Listen to Luke chapter 17. Jesus is warning of offenses here. He said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come." Could you say that out loud with me, please? It is impossible that no offenses should come. Come on, one more time. All right, stop right there. Jesus is preaching a message. Point number one of his message. It's impossible to live life without having offenses come. It's impossible to live life without the opportunity for unforgiveness and bitterness to arise in your heart. It is impossible. Doesn't mean you have to take a hold of it. I used to tell people all the time, if you're going to take offense, make sure you get a gate and let yourself out. Right? It's impossible to live life without being hurt, without being offended. It is impossible. It is the nature of life. Something is going to offend me, right? People are going to offend me. Politics is going to offend me. Race might offend you. I don't know what your issue is. Religion might offend you. Something is going to offend you. I'm too loud. It's too soft. It's too bright. It's too dark. It's too hot. It's too cold. Something is going to offend you. And have you ever noticed how unhappy people are? Anybody in here ever notice how unhappy people are other than me? It's like people don't know how to be happy. You're not going to be able to find any place in life where offense doesn't come. Look at me. There's a problem with you running from your problems. Because wherever you go, there you be. Right? Somebody said, "Well, we got the perfect church." No, we don't, because you're here. Right? No, we don't, because I'm here. Come on, church is made up of imperfect people. And if you don't deal with your problems, there's a lot of people think, "I'll go to another job and that'll solve my problems. I'll go to another marriage and that'll solve my problem." No. That doesn't solve your problems. All you do is take you with you and all of your junk that's in your trunk over there to that place. You got to get you fixed and get you right with God before you go messing up anything else, right? It's impossible to live life without offenses coming. Now let's go to the next part. But woe to him through whom it comes. In other words, you better not be the one who causes it. Here's what Jesus is saying. It's impossible for you to live without being offended by something. But you better not be the one who causes people to be offended and hurt. Now I heard some people say, "Well, I just don't care what people think about me." Well, you just don't believe what Jesus believes. Now, I know what you're trying to say. You're not going to let their thinking determine your life. Well, that's true. I believe in that. But there is something to be said about living at peace with all men, having the right reputation. You know, the Bible says I can't even be a pastor if people on the outside of this church don't think highly of me or don't respect my lifestyle. So don't run around with a chip on your shoulder. Most people who say that are just trying to keep everybody at arm's length because they've been hurt before and they don't want to be hurt again. They just don't have the courage to talk about the pain that they've been through and allow God to heal them. I'm preaching good right now. Preach on, Pastor Shane. I think I will. It's the truth. But Jesus says, you're going to get offended, but you better not be the one who causes offense. And then notice this. He said it'd be better for him, the one who causes offense, if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones. Now, a millstone being hung around somebody's neck was a form of Roman punishment. But look at me. It was only reserved for one person, one kind of person in the Roman Empire. Only for the worst of the worst murderers. I'm talking about, you think about Jeffrey Dahmer or Ted Bundy. That's the kind of person in biblical times that a millstone was hung around his neck and he was cast into the ocean. It was the worst of the worst of the worst murderers in the community. Listen to what Jesus said. Don't take offense when it comes. You're going to have it come in life. Number two, you better not cause offense, because if you cause offense, it's the same as murder. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that sounds like pretty serious stuff, right? And I'm not going to take a swim with concrete shoes with the fishes. Some of y'all get that later. So Jesus, watch what he does. Watch what he does here when he talks about offense and unforgiveness. Take heed to yourselves. Isn't that interesting? If I was Jesus, I would say, well, make Billy Joe get his junk right first. Well, make Pam do right. She's my wife, my God. Right? I mean, yesterday was husband day. Husband day.
Hey!
Husband day. You know what I got? Nothing. She did. Richard, did you get anything? Steve, did you get anything? Billy Joe, did you get anything? What is wrong with you women? You are some crazy folk. My wife should have gotten me something like a Corvette. It was husband day. Husband day. I mean, look how lucky she is. I'm just saying. I'm the total package. I can sing. I can dance. I can preach. It was husband day. That's all I'm saying. Come on, y'all work with me. Husband day. She didn't get me anything. God, fix Pam. God, fix Steve. I'm being funny, but I'm trying to make a point. This is how we live. God, fix Billy Joe. Fix Rhonda, fix Liz, fix Day. You know, just fix them. It's never fix me. But notice what Jesus said when it comes to unforgiveness and bitterness. Take heed to yourself. Get yourself right first before you try to go getting everybody else right. Some of y'all got your little offended nose in everybody else's business trying to fix everybody else when you need to turn that thing on the inside and get what's right on the inside before you try to fix what's right on the outside. Y'all better make some noise in here. I'm preaching good now. Okay, I gotta get to that. I need 7 hours for this. I didn't work this hard. I'm going to finish it. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. In other words, tell him, hey, man, you did me wrong. And if he repents, forgive him. That's the problem. We like to tell people off, but we don't like to let them go. Oh, man, I want to say something right there. And I'm like, if I say that, they'll never come back to church again. So I'm going to pass on it. No, you don't want me to say this one. If I say this one, you won't even come back to church again. Come on, somebody. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, is Jesus on medicine? 7 times in a, listen, you can hurt me once, I'll cast it off, you know, water off a duck back. But you keep doing it, right? And I got a 9mm bullet with your name on it. Y'all act so holy. Not me. Not me. And it's loaded in your pocket right now. 7 times in a day. And listen, here's what makes it bad. If in 7 times in a day he returns to you and says, I repent, what are you supposed to do? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Forgive him. And I like the way the apostles responded. Lord, increase our faith. That's so real, isn't it? Is that not like the realest passage in the Bible? Jesus, I'm going to need help with that one. Right? So the Lord said, okay, I'm going to increase your faith. So he gives them a teaching. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say this mulberry tree. Everybody say the mulberry tree. To be pulled up by the roots, planted into the sea, and it'll obey you. This doesn't seem like it has anything to do with unforgiveness. All right, Jesus just told me if I don't forgive, I'm going to have a stone tied around my neck, going to be thrown in the oceans, going to go for a swim with the fishes. I need to get my stuff together before I try to fix everybody else. And then if somebody comes back and they offend me, I got to forgive them. And then if they do it seven times in a day, I got to, every time I come back, I keep saying they're sorry. I can't jap slap them, nothing. No offense to any Japs. I can't. You never know, right? I'm preaching. Right? Right? Y'all don't make me laugh, please, okay? What was I saying? Somebody help me with my message right now. Seven times in a day, I can't even slap him. I can't even cuss a little bit. Right? Seven times in a day, you got to forgive him. Hey, Jesus, you got to help me with that. I don't have what it takes. I can decide it, but I can't do it. I got to depend on you. You got to help me with that. And Jesus says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help you right now. Here's a great teaching to help you with forgiveness. If you see a tree and you want it moved, you can speak to it and cast it into the ocean. Okay, Jesus, it's like you're preaching and all of a sudden you went rabbit. You're preaching like Pastor Shane does. We were talking about forgiveness and offense. You're telling me I got to decide to forgive. You're telling me I got to really depend on you to help me because you want it done seven times in a day. You don't even want me to slap them, punch them, nothing. I can't kick them. Can I cut their tires? Can I put something that blows up at their door? I mean, something, Jesus, help me. You got to help me. Oh, you want me to help you? If you see a mulberry tree and you want to cast it to the ocean, just speak to it. And if you got faith, the grain of mustard seed, it'll go and jump in the ocean. Does anybody see what I'm trying to point out here? Does it seem like the scriptures don't fit? That's because in the King James, it's mulberry tree. But in Israel, it was actually a sycamine tree. And a sycamine tree means something to Jewish people, and they know that there's some characteristics about the sycamine tree that's unlike any other trees in Israel. Can I give you the characteristics of them? Number one, they had large, deep root systems. If you look at a sycamine tree, and this is a cartoon version, but that's kind of the way it looks like, this is literally how the root systems look under the ground. They're huge and tangled, and they spread out everywhere. Listen to what Jesus was saying. You want to be able to forgive somebody seven times in a day that's hurt you, that's offended you? You're going to have to get rid of the root system in your life. You're going to have to get rid of the deep things that you don't talk about, that you don't mention, but's really there. It's stuff you cry about in the secret places, but you never really deal with it. You've got to deal with the deep-rooted issues of your life. I used to battle mental thoughts, like every young man, mental thoughts, right? The good news is when you get 50 years old, time and physical things work. I'm just being honest, right? I battled. Can I be transparent? Is this church for, y'all act like you're so holy. My God, I used to battle, right? And I would do the Christian thing. I fought with my thought life all the time. I cast down strongholds. I did all, I had all this stuff, and I had my little prescribed order, and I'd do all this stuff to win the battle. And one day I was in prayer, and I said, Lord, why in the world do I keep fighting this? And the Lord immediately swept me up in my mind's eye and took me back to a scene that I had forgotten when I was a little boy, about 5 or 6 years old. I don't remember anything from my childhood, early childhood, except this one thing. I was laying on the floor beside a little girl who was our neighbor, and we were looking up the hall of the house that we were at, and the adults had a screen in there, a big screen, and on the other side of the screen was a projector, and they were playing pornographic movies, and we were laying there as little kids looking down the hallway. We didn't even know what we was watching, but Satan used those images to lodge something in my spirit and in my mind that created a struggle for me for the rest of my life. Listen to me, folks. Sometimes you can't get healed till you figure out where it came from, and at that moment when I figured out where it come from, I said, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, take that out of my mind. And when I got healed from that, God healed me from the other. I'm telling you today, I'm a witness that God can deal with it if you'll give him the roots. You got to pluck it up by the roots. Come on, shout that out. You got to pluck it up by the roots. Get that thing. It's going to hurt, but get it anyway. Reason Jesus said you got to cast that sycamine tree is because it has deep roots. Number two, did you know a sycamine tree was the wood that they use in Israel to build caskets? So here's what Jesus was saying. If you don't deal with this unforgiveness, it will kill you. I wonder how many people today are plagued with disease because they just haven't forgiven somebody. Plagued with it because we haven't forgiven somebody. Number three. Here's the third thing that he knew about trees, that the sycamine tree. It grows best in dry areas, arid desert areas. The drier the conditions, the faster it grows. The drier the conditions, the faster it grows. Do you know why? Because it doesn't get its moisture from the outside. It has to go deep with the roots, and the faster it grows and the stronger it gets. You say, what does that have to do with unforgiveness? Because the drier you are spiritually, the drier you are spiritually, the stronger that unforgiveness and that bitterness grows in your life. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, that's a good point. He's talking to you right now. Number four, I'm almost done here. The fourth thing that he tells us about this tree, or he knew about this tree, is it produced a fruit, a fig. But here's the problem with it. Nobody else could eat it because it was so bitter to the taste. Look at the tree. You ever had somebody look at your life and think it's so good, and they get around you, and then they taste a little bit of your life, and they don't want to be around you anymore? It's because of that unforgiveness. Let me give you the last one. Remember I told you about the tormentors? Everybody look right here. Do you know how sycamine trees are pollinated? They're only pollinated by one insect. Only one. A wasp. It's the only thing that pollinates the tree. What Jesus is basically saying here, he's saying, folks, if you don't walk in forgiveness, if you do forgive, if you don't cause offense and you release people from offense, you can speak to the problem and tell it to be gone in the name of Jesus, and it'll go into the ocean. It'll obey you. But what he's saying is, if you don't get a hold of the unforgiveness, you need to know the root structure is going to go deeper and deeper. Eventually, it will kill you, and I'll have to put you in a casket. It grows in dry, arid conditions. You need something to refresh your soul. You'll produce figs that everybody will eat, and they'll hate being around you because you'll become so bitter that nobody can stand the taste of your presence. And wasps, demonic spirits, will come and they'll just pollinate your life. And then here's what will happen. They'll carry your bitterness down to the next generation, and then to the next generation, and to the next generation. Before you know it, it won't be just you in captivity. It'll be all your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. And it's all because you didn't forgive. What are you saying, preacher? Bury the hatchet. How do I do that? I decide to, and I depend on the Holy Ghost to help me every single time. The enemy will try to bring it up. But what you need to say is, I have buried it so deep, I don't even know where it's at anymore. I've got it under the spout where the glory comes out. I don't even know where it's at anymore. I'm going to release this thing, and I'm going to let it go. Amen? Stand with me all over this room today. Today we're going to do something incredible. We're getting ready to celebrate water baptism. You know what water baptism is all about? It's all about the fact that we went to Jesus and we had a debt that we could not pay, and we asked Jesus to forgive us, and Jesus forgave us of all of our debt. Awesome. It's awesome. So all of you who are getting ready to be water baptized, I want you to follow Pastor Steve and go get ready. In just a moment, I'm going to ease back there, and we're just going to celebrate water baptism. But until then, I want everybody in this room to bow your head in this place. Everybody, bow your head. Nobody, please, nobody looking around right now. Thursday, I was on a plane headed to Amarillo, Texas for some meetings. And I was praying through my message on the plane, and I heard the Lord speak to me so clearly that there would be a woman in this service today that sickness and disease has come upon your body in the last 12 to 24 months. And the reason it's plaguing you is because of unforgiveness. You've been hurt, says the Lord. And you have your walls up so high. The problem is your walls are keeping not only people from touching you, but it's also keeping you from touching people. The walls of protection that you have erected, says the Lord, have become a prison of your own making. The Lord says, this morning I have come to heal you. Whew. Like Jesus walking through Capernaum and people hearing that he's here. This morning, I'm telling you by the Spirit of Almighty God that Jesus has walked into this building this morning and he says, I am here to heal you. Those of you who are carrying bitterness and unforgiveness, it's killing you. It makes your whole life bitter. Make a decision right now to let it go. Make a decision to let it go. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you. That's what we're about to do. Now we have just a few moments before we baptize these precious folks. And with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, if you're in here and you say, Pastor, I've got two questions for you. Number one, Pastor, or sir, ma'am, do you know Jesus? If you were to die right now, would you be as sure of heaven as if you're already there? Do you know that you know that you know that you're right? I didn't ask you if you went to church. I didn't ask you if you've ever answered an altar call. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you're in here today and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest, I don't know Jesus. You've come on a great Sunday. And here's the reason I say you've come on a great Sunday. Because not only are you going to have an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ, but we have the waters of baptism ready for you. You say, well, I didn't bring any clothes. Go home wet. It's a beautiful day outside. We'll find a towel. Somebody will loan you something. We don't care. It doesn't matter. Today's a good day. If you're going to just give it all to Jesus, give it all to him. You say, Pastor, I need to make some things right with Jesus. If that's you, nobody looking around, just you and I, just you and I. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make some things right with Jesus. Get your hand in there. Get your hand in there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? Say, God bless you. All right, you can put those hands down. Now, everybody look this way. If you lifted your hand or you didn't, but you know you should have, I'm going to ask you to be real bold. Some of you have been around church, you know what's coming. I'm not looking for any wimps. I'm looking for warriors. I'm looking for people who make a stand in the middle of a culture that is losing their mind. I'm looking for somebody who would say, you know what? I'm not ashamed that I am a person who needs to be born again, that I'm making Jesus the Lord of life. Here's the truth. I believe when you raise your hand, heaven came to you. I believe when you raise your hand, heaven started running to you. But I also believe there's something powerful about stepping out and saying, I'm making Jesus Lord. I made him Lord. When Pastor said, pray for me, I made him Lord. And I'm going to ask about four. We have four or five people lift their hands. If the prayer team will come, just some of my four or five, only four or five. So I got three. I need one more. Come on, come here. Look at me. If you lifted your hand or you didn't, and you know you should have, I want you right now, be bold as a lion. Be proud that Jesus is forgiving you of everything you've ever done and writing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, a lot of churches don't do this anymore. They're scared. But I believe there's a generation that says, no, 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 no. I want to fight for what I believe in. I'm willing to stand for what I believe in. If you lifted your hand or you didn't, but you know you should have, would you get out of your seat right now and come to one of these folks? We're going to give you about 30 seconds. Come right now. Somebody needs to give the Lord a hand for those who are stepping out right now. Come on, let them know you support them. Come on, let them know you support them. Let them know you love them. If you lifted your hand or you didn't, you know you should have. Now stretch your hands this way toward them. Father, I thank you for every hand that was lifted, for the ones who've come and even the ones who haven't come. I thank you, Lord, that heaven's going to invade their life today. That I feel the Lord in this room, that everything is going to become new for them. Today, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now look at me. If you're in here today and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest, I've been battling some hurt, some pain, some unforgiveness. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Step out of where you are. Come to one of these prayer people right now. And I'm going to need probably a few more to step up here. But if you need prayer, get out of your seat and come right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, let us pray with you. We believe that when we pray, things happen. I'm releasing it today. I'm not going to let this thing kill me today. I'm not going to let this thing hurt me anymore today. I'm releasing this today in Jesus' name. I'm releasing this today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're healing the broken today. You're healing broken hearts today. We're not going to go to hell over a mystery. We're not going to be out with other people. We're definitely not going to be out with you. God, we're going to give you everything that we have and everything that we don't. We're submitting it all to you today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you who are out in the audience, you can just be seated for just a moment. I'm going to make my way back here, and we're going to baptize some folks. Hallelujah.
Amen. Are we on out there? I don't know. You can see me. If you can see me, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Well, that's good. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get this show on the road. Desmond? Yep. Come on in. The water's fairly warm, maybe? Yeah, okay, good. All right. Let's turn around there and have a seat. This is Desmond Yoke. Desmond, you want to say anything before you... Now, okay, no problem. No problem, buddy. All right, well.
Would you stretch your hands just toward us back here? Father, we thank you for Desmond. I thank you for the call of God that is on his life. I thank you for a young man who is not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Great days are ahead for him. You're going to do things that he can't even imagine is possible. Lord, as we plant Desmond in this water, the old is going down, but something new is about to arise in his life. Today, he does this by faith because you commanded it and because you said you'd open heaven over his life today. So Desmond, would you hold your nose? It is our privilege, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congratulations, man. Isn't this awesome? And listen, if you're out there watching right now and you have not been water baptized, you want to be water baptized, all you got to do is come on. The water's good right now. This is Harper. Harper, is there anything you want to say? She said no. Do you love Jesus with all your heart? I know you do. You've committed your life to Him. I believe God has great things in store for you. How old are you, Harper? She's 9 years old. I want you to hold your nose with one hand. There you go. Harper, I speak life over you. I speak destiny over you. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to protect Harper and you're going to use her for the kingdom of heaven. And God, you're going to make her a mighty warrior princess for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in her and for her. As she obeys you today, open heaven over her life, Harper, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Awesome. This is my dear friend, Brandon. That was just his daughter. Brandon and them just moved from Kentucky to Tennessee to be a part of our church. Isn't that awesome? Is there anything you want to say?
Yeah. I'm just thankful for the Lord. This message is right on time for me, because offense was what caused me to stumble and allowed chains to come on me, but God is faithful and He breaks chains.
Isn't that awesome? Come on, somebody. Put your hand on your nose there. Father, I thank you for the wonderful privilege to do this for my friend. Lord, they've even relocated their family to be a part of what you're doing in this place. Now, God, I know that ministry is on he and his wife. It's on his family. And I decree over them that no weapon that has been formed against them to destroy them shall prosper. That you're working a mighty work in them and you're orchestrating everything for their good. And Father, today I thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away all sin. I thank you the old is gone and the new has come because of your work at Calvary. Brandon, because of your profession of faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Next up, we have Lindsay. This is awesome. Lindsay was concerned about her hair getting wet and everybody seeing her hair. I said, baby, just be glad you got hair, right? Lindsay, is there anything you want to say? Well, I know that Lindsay loves Jesus with all of her heart, because I watch her while I preach the word. And she serves in the church and she gives of her time. And yeah, just such a wonderful, wonderful young lady. Would you put one hand on your nose? Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in her life. I thank you, Lord, for young people who love you with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, again, I pray that you would raise her up as a mighty warrior princess for your kingdom. Use her, God, like you'd used Esther in a time of trouble. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that heaven would invade her life like never before. Because of your profession of faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. This is awesome. Well, they're lining up to be water baptized. Folks, this is great. Come on up here, guys. This is Ashley. Hallelujah. Anything you want to say, Ashley? Father, I thank you for her life. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in her life. All the new stuff that you're bringing about. And Lord, today I feel like my message is really touching deeply in her. I thank you, first of all, Lord, that you have forgiven her all her sin. And that today everything is released in your presence. So Jesus, we want to say thank you for loving us just where we're at. Now would you hold your nose? It is such an honor and a privilege because of your profession in Jesus Christ as the Lord and your Savior to baptize you in the name of the Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wonderful. This is awesome. I love you, Missy. This is Daryl. That was his better half. Now, I want to say something about, I call him Big D. Big D, I love you. This church wouldn't be where it's at today if it wasn't for you. This guy came up here and worked day and night with us to make this happen. And I'm so proud of what the Lord's doing in your life. You want to say anything? Yes.
I thank God every day for the people that He's put in my life. You, Steve, Mr. Richard. My beautiful Ashley, I was in a dark place a few years ago, and He can definitely take everything off your heart and fix everything that you've got if you put your trust in Him. Just trust Him every day. Pray, love Him, love everybody, and it gets better. No matter what you got, when you walk through those doors, He can fix it.
Lord, we thank you for Daryl, my Big D. Thank you for the call of God on his life. Thank you for the work of the Holy Ghost that's taking place on the inside of him and his whole family. Thank you, Lord, that the best is yet to come, that greater days are ahead, greater blessings are ahead. And Lord, I pray today that as he follows you in water baptism, that Lord, you would open heaven over his life. And because he has sowed so much seed of time and energy and resource into this church, Lord, would you bless his family like he has never dreamed was even possible. Father, it is my privilege to baptize him because of his profession of faith in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. Awesome. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to have to get bigger baptistry. This is me, folks. What's your name, baby?
Megan,
is this your first time here today?
No.
You've been here before? So did you know you was going to get water baptized this morning? You just decided that you wanted to be water baptized. Any reason in particular just felt like this was your day, right? You believe Jesus with all your heart. You love him with all your heart. You believe he died for you. Right? You believe that you're his. Would you take one hand, hold your nose, and the other hand, hold your wrist right there? It is such an honor to be able to do this. Lord, I thank you for this precious young lady. Spirit of the living God, come upon her. Anoint her with fire, Lord, to do your work, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus, as she goes in this water, she will come up different than she's ever been, that there would be a new woman working on the inside of her and guide her footsteps all the days of her life. Lord, it is our privilege because of her profession of faith in you to baptize her now in the name of the Father, his Son, Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody better make some noise right there. That's so awesome. Come here, babe. We have one more. Brother, would you do me a favor? Go to our cafe area and grab her a t-shirt that she can change into. Did you know you was going to get baptized this morning?
No, because this is my first day here and just felt the feeling and just tired of my dad being a meth head. And makes me worry about him, but.
What's his name, baby?
Dusty Bowles.
Dusty. How many believe that Jesus can touch Dusty? What's your name, honey?
Gracie.
Gracie. What an incredible name. Gracie. I like Gracie. Well, Gracie, you got Jesus in your heart?
Yes.
He's your Lord? You believe he loves you? I believe this today. You're taking an act of obedience. Let me tell you what I know about God. When somebody, especially in the Bible, young ladies, do something radical for Jesus, he usually in turn does something radical for them. And I believe because of what you're doing right now that God is getting ready to invade your life with more grace than you've ever dreamed possible. And we're believing today that not only you, but your whole family come into the kingdom of Almighty God. And we're proud to be your church family. We really are. Would you put your hand on your nose? One hand on your wrist. Gracie, it is our honor, because of your profession of faith in Jesus, to baptize you today in the name of the Father, in the name of his Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. God, do a miracle for Gracie today in Jesus' name. Now, somebody in this room better lift up Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Come on, let's make a little noise for the King this morning. Lift your hands to the Lord. May the Lord God bless you. May the Lord God keep you. May the Lord God make his face to shine upon you. We declare that you're the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You are a victor. You are not a victim. You're on top. You're not on the bottom, because Jesus is the King of your life. So we want you to be blessed today. Go and be blessed. Hang out with us and do me a favor. Go over to the cafe and love on every single one of these people who have given their lives to the Lord and been water baptized. Let them know how proud you are of them. We will see you this Wednesday night at 6:30. We're having our first service. Young people, I'm going to be teaching in the fellowship hall for you. We want to see you here 6:30. Come on, somebody give the Lord one more hand. God bless you as you dismiss. We'll see you Wednesday night.